The British and Egyptian cavalry moved forward together. The Nile lay on their left hand, and on it they could see the gunboats sailing up the stream in line astern. Before them stood the line of the Kereri Hills. Penrod's camels were on the right flank of the advance. They climbed the first slope and came out abruptly on the crest. Spread below him, Penrod saw the confluence of the two great Niles, and between them the long-abandoned ruins of Khartoum. Directly ahead in Omdurman rose the brown dome of a large building. It had not been there when Penrod had escaped. He knew, however, that this must be the tomb of the Mahdi in the centre of the city. Nothing else had changed. The wide plain ahead was speckled with coarse clumps of thorn bush and enclosed on three sides by harsh stony hills. In the centre of the plain, like another monument, was the conical Surgham Hill. Abutting the hill, a long, low, uneven ridge hid the fold of ground immediately beyond it. There was no sign of the dervish. Obedient to his express orders, Penrod halted his troops on the high ground, and they watched the squadron of British cavalry ride forward cautiously. Suddenly there was movement. Hundreds of tiny specks left what appeared to be the walls of a zareba of thorn branches. It was the dervish vanguard. They moved forward to meet the British cavalry. The front echelon of troopers dismounted and at long range opened fire with their carbines on the approaching dervish. A few fell, and their comrades rode unhurriedly back to the zareba. Then a remarkable transformation took place. The dark wall of the zareba came to life. It was not made of thornbush, but of men, tens of thousands of dervish warriors. Behind them another vast mass appeared over the low ridge in the centre of the plain. Like an infestation of locusts, they swarmed forward. Around and between their divisions, individual horsemen rode back and forth, and squadrons of their wild cavalry swirled. Hundreds of banners waved above their ranks, and myriad spearheads glittered. Even at this distance, Penrod could hear the booming of the war drums and the braying of the ombires. Through his binoculars, he searched the front ranks of this massive concentration of the enemy, and in the centre, he picked out the distinctive scarlet and black war banner of Osman Atalan. "So, my enemy has come," he whispered, reverting instinctively to Arabic. Beside him, Sergeant Yakup grinned evilly and rolled his one eye. "Kismet," he said. "This has been written." Then their attention was diverted from the awe-inspiring spectacle of the dervish advance to the river on the left side. The flotilla of gunboats with a crash of cannon engaged the dervish forts on both banks, which guarded the river approaches to the city. The dervish guns responded, and the thunder of artillery echoed from the hills. But the fire from the gunboats was fast and deadly accurate. The embrasures of the forts were smashed to rubble, and the guns behind them blown off their mountings. The Maxim guns scoured the rifle trenches on each side of the forts and slaughtered the dervish in them. The British and Egyptian cavalry withdrew slowly ahead of the advancing dervish army. In the meantime, Kitchener's main army came marching up along the river bank and lagered around the tiny abandoned fishing village of Aigaiga. In this defensive position, they awaited the first assault of the dervish. Suddenly, the mass of advancing dervish halted. They fired their rifles into the air, a salute and a challenge, but instead of coming on to the attack, they lay down on the earth. By now it was late in the afternoon, and it was soon evident that they would not mount their main attack that day. The flotilla of gunboats had reduced all the dervish forts and shelled the tomb of the Mahdi, destroying the dome. Now they dropped back down the current and anchored opposite the army's zareba. Night fell.